Sally sells seashells down by the seashore. Oh, we're live?
We're live.
Okay, let's get going on this next module. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us already for basically 2 hours of learning and four more to come. So this is great. I love learning. I love the whole educational process.
Yeah, this is cool.
I love teaching and learning because in teaching you learn so much. Anyway, right now we're going to be talking about the changes. The whole time we're talking about the changes in Windows 8.1 over Windows 8, but right now we're going to be talking about the UX and UI changes. And I suppose it's probably possible that you may not have heard about these terms UX and UI.
It's possible.
UI was introduced earlier. It's a user interface. So we've got GUI, graphical user interface. The hardcore developers are more proponents of a command line interface, CLI. And in modern years, we've got UX, which stands for user experience. It's a more encapsulating term that talks not just about literally what's showing up on the screen and how it works, but the entire experience that your user has. Windows 8 has made enormous investments in the realm of user experience to make sure that the usability of the operating system is something that people enjoy. It's extremely important, and it's extremely important for you as a developer to take those into consideration in your app. It's going to make or break your app. It's going to be the difference between your app and the other ones that are in the same category. So let's dig into the very important topic of UX and UI. This is at Module 3, and we've got three more modules after this. In this module, we're going to look at all of the new windowing modes in Windows 8.1. It works completely differently in 8.1 versus 8. We're going to look at the tile updates, lots of differences on the tiles that show up on your start screen. Search is completely revamped. There are a couple subtle changes in share, not a huge difference in share. The charms works on every screen, and we'll take a look at that. We're going to look at how you and your app can integrate people and events. The user will want to be able to access their contacts and access their calendar items, and we'll show that off. We also have access to speech synthesis now, which means that we can take a text file or dynamic text, and we can turn that into spoken text. It still pretty much sounds like a computer, depending on the voice files that you use, but we have speech synthesis, and that's good for applications where, for instance, you want to keep the user's eyes on the road. Instead of making him look at anything, you can just read it to him. And finally, some changes around the alarm app. So, regarding windowing, there are a number of things that you should be thinking about. First of all, Windows 8.1 has completely done away with snap mode, fill mode, full mode, all these different modes, these different view states are gone.
What?
They are gone.
But I could still do it. I don't know what you mean.
How would you like it if you were a feature and your lifespan was Windows 8 to Windows 8.1?
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, I know. Somebody worked on that, right? But it wasn't the ideal way to do it. We've got Windows 8 is becoming more and more diversified. Like I said before, it works on over 3,000 devices. Can you imagine how small some of those screens are? Can you imagine how big some of those screens are? I actually got to touch an 88-inch touchscreen monitor at the Build conference in San Francisco a couple months ago.
That's crazy.
That was impressive. Windows 8 running on an 88-inch screen. Very, very cool. I think it was 88 or 80. It was if it's over 80, it's kind of all the same as far as I'm concerned. Okay, so we don't have snap or fill or full. We've got a completely new way of doing that, and I'll show you all about it. You have to think that your app might not be next to the edge of a screen. I don't know if your app has any special considerations about that, but if it does, know that your app might be running smack dab in the middle of two other apps surrounding it on either side. That's something you should think about. Know that your app can be running more than once. That's a dramatic change. You can actually create multiple windows of your app. And when you launch another app, by default, and you have some control over this, but by default, that app is going to launch next to your app. It's not going to replace it. It's going to launch next to it, splitting the screen in half. Okay? So these are really dramatic changes, really dramatic in the area of UX, UI, that you have to think about and make sure you design your app for. Okay, let me tell you the way this works by giving you an illustration. Okay? Now, I've got Windows 8.1 running right now. Now you're looking at my desktop. And this is the classic desktop. I can put whatever picture I want in the background. I've got my taskbar. And when I press the start button, I get my start screen. Now, I'm going to open a couple of apps. You can see here that it's 65 degrees and mostly clear in Seattle right now.
Nice.
This is my weather app. Okay? It's working like the weather app. If I press my start button, my entire screen is replaced with my start screen.
Right.
And now I'm free to open another app. Let's go ahead and open Code Show. There's Code Show.
Yay.
Let's go back to the start page just to show all the tiles there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I have weather and Code Show running at the same time, but not on the same screen.
True.
I want both of those running on the same screen, so I'm going to bring back weather. How do I do that?
You said this isn't supported anymore. But yes, if you could, the old way, you would probably maybe try to put one into a snap view and then try to bring up the other one. But I have a feeling you're going to show us a much groovier way of doing it.
Yeah, or actually, even in the old Windows, I was able to bring apps off my back stack from the left.
Whoa.
And when I bring that, I now get a little bit of visual feedback about where
nice.
I place that. See, I could place that on the left, and it'll show me it's going to put it on the left.
How huge that area.
I could place it on the right. Yeah, it's half the screen, right? And if I drop it there, I've now split my screen in half.
Half the screen?
Yeah.
This is insanity.
I know. We're used to a little snap mode, and now we get half the screen.
Oh.
Before, it was never possible for your app to take up half the screen. It was always full or filled, which is roughly two-thirds, or snapped, which is roughly a third, whatever. Right?
Wow.
Now we've got half the screen. And here's the trick. The user is able to variably change this. Just by slight changes, they can determine how much real estate they want to allot to the two different apps.
So there's not little snap, tiny snap, big snap, really big snap.
No.
They're just saying, no more snap for you.
Yep.
You have variable size something.
No snap for you. Yes, exactly. These are not discrete view states. It's a continuous change whenever the user alters the, changes the slider in the middle and changes the amount of size allotted to the
wow.
different apps. But we do have a minimum size, okay? So
really?
Code Show is not going to look good 3 pixels wide. We don't want to give that experience to the users. When you create a new Windows 8.1 application, by default, you have 500 pixels minimum, okay? That's your minimum. So I can make Code Show as large as I want, as long as my other apps don't get too small. But I can make Code Show as small as 500 pixels. That's 500 pixels right there. Now, if I want to, as a developer, I can say, you know what, darn it, I made Code Show with a snap view. It looks good at 320 pixels. I want to go down to that size. More power to you. All you have to do is change your minimum to 320,
mm-hmm.
and then you can handle that, what looks like snap view. It's actually just 320 pixels wide.
Right.
Right now, if I try to resize Code Show down, notice mm-hmm. it just falls off the screen. It says, hey, it's 500 or nothing here, buddy.
What?
You can't go to 320. But let's go make one change in the Code Show app. And this change, can you guess where this change would be? It's in the manifest. I go into the manifest, and I have a minimum width of 500 set.
Whoa.
And I can set that to 320. Now let's run Code Show and see how it behaves. The build has started. The presenter is drinking.
Tea.
Drinking tea. Drinking tea. Thanks, tech guys.
The question was asked, could you lock the resize bar? I don't think you can.
Lock the resize bar so that the user can't move
yeah,
it? No.
Yeah.
It's not a feature of your app. It's a feature of Windows.
That's
and you
correct.
Have no control over it. Yep.
Yeah.
Here I am in Code Show now with its all new functionality. Let's go ahead and bring that's not the app I wanted. Maybe I like to show you guys things that you might not know. So I can bring things out from the back stack, but the last thing I was using was my desktop. Remember, the desktop acts like one app, everything that you have running in the desktop. If I want something different, I can kind of drag something out, drag something else out, or what I can do, let me just switch back to Code Show here. I can drag out and then move instantly back to the side of the screen, and now I get a list of all of my Windows Store apps. So I want to grab the weather app from there, drag it, and set it on the right of Code Show. Now let's see how Code Show behaves when we go small. Notice I'm already smaller than 500 pixels, and I can just land right there if I want. Now it's what, 390 or what? Who knows how big that is. And if I go down, it kind of snaps to 320 pixels. Now, Code Show at this point certainly shouldn't be showing with the same exact UI. Long before it got this narrow, we should have handled the fact that the space is narrower, and we should have changed the orientation of things. We should, when we're in 320 pixels wide, we should be doing everything vertically. No more of this side to side, because notice that I have very little room to do any side swiping to even navigate my app. Even though it works, it's not a great experience for the user. So what you're going to want to do, and we don't have time to show this, but you're going to, just the way that you did in CSS past, in Windows 7, or in Windows 8 rather, you built media queries. Only now, instead of handling different snaps, different view states, you handle different minimum and maximum widths of your app. So you as the developer say, when my app is anywhere from 320 pixels to say 500 or say 600, whatever, I want it to act like a vertical list. When my app is between is it at a minimum of 700 and anywhere higher than that wide, I want it to act like a list view. And you have that full control as the developer. You implement all of this. This is called reactive design. Okay, and it's a very, very popular modern topic. I created a Code Show demo that I call reactive design, and this is all it is. All it is a 320 pixel wide div and a 500 pixel wide div, so you can see where the snapping is occurring. So you can see that it's stopped there at 320 pixels. Mm. And when if we changed that back to 500, you would see that it's stopping at the 500 pixels.
Gotcha.
So that's all it is. It's just a little way to test that. So it's not an elaborate demo by any stretch. Now, let me give you a little bit of candy here. I think people are going to enjoy this. There are some keyboard shortcuts for working in modern apps that are really fun.
Oh.
So here I have two apps on the screen. Does everybody notice the little divider in the middle, the splitter? It has a little line in the middle of it.
I see it.
Right there.
Yes.
That little line, that little line
is gone.
Is gone. Thank you, Peanut Gallery. That little line is indicating which of these two apps is currently the active app.
What?
Did you know that?
Actually, I'm ashamed to say I did not know that.
Did you ever wonder
I
what
just thought that they were groovy-looking symbols.
It was just a design? Yeah, no, that's an actual... That has a
There's
purpose.
Meaning to it.
There's a purpose, that's
okay.
Right. It means that Code Show is currently active. Let me hit Windows up.
Code Windows Show, up.
Windows up has brought Code Show up. It's basically... it's asking me if I want to... maximize Code Show to the full screen. If I let go of the Windows key, it happens.
I see. So it's kind of like in that suspended matrix type mode where they're just like staying there until you let go of the key and then whoosh.
And all we really need to do now is have multiple views of Code Show rotating around and we'll be set. Okay, so now Code Show is maximum screen, right? Well, what if I hit Windows left? Ooh, Code Show has taken the left half of the screen. Now, with Code Show at the left half of the screen, I could Windows tab to weather and bring it up on the right. I've used only the keyboard.
I think you need to repeat that one more time for everybody.
I've used only the keyboard.
No, I mean the demo. That was very cool.
Can I just be so bold as to say that real developers only use the keyboard?
Sure.
Is that too much? I don't think it's too much
you
to
say.
I think I can say that. If you can do it on the keyboard, you'll save lots of time, okay? And now you can do this on only the keyboard. Now watch this.
Okay.
Okay, so you've seen Windows up and Windows left. Obviously, Windows right is going to do the opposite. It's going to allow me to, in this case, switch things around. Mm-hmm. But you also need to know about Windows period. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Remember what that did?
Yes, it shifted your snap view, that which was once called snap view, around.
That's right. It toggled your app between snap, filled, and back to snap again, and on the other side of the screen. Now, it does something similar. Watch this. Windows period. Boop. It doesn't make that. I made that noise. Boop. But what happened is it hovered. We're now in matrix view. The weather view is hovering above it's allotted real estate a little bit, which means, hey, you've still got your finger on the Windows key. What do you want me to do?
Right.
I could hit up and it would maximize it.
Sure.
I could hit left or right and it would move it around. I could hit down and it would
make
close
it, go away.
It.
Right, right.
Up would maximize it. I've got good control over this window with the keyboard. But watch what happens if I hit Windows period again.
Okay.
You just changed who was the
It's a control thing, like who's in control.
I'm switching the control between one app and another, and it includes, did you notice that it includes the slider bar in the middle?
I did.
Now watch this.
Uh-huh.
Oh! Isn't that groovalicious?
Yeah.
That's my word, by the way.
Okay.
I have a patent on the word groovalicious.
So if you happen to have them split screen like that and one is the active, what does the state of, what is the state of the app of the other one?
It is running. That's
it's
a very good
running.
Question. Apps that are on the screen are running.
Running.
Running. They are not suspended. If it's on the screen, it is running. Now, what happens if I attempt to bring in a third app at this point? I'm going to press the start button. Notice that the start experience never opens windowed. It always opens full screen.
That's correct.
Your start screen is always full screen. That's important.
Okay.
And I'm going to launch Nook. It's ready. I'm ready to read a book. What?
What?
Oh, that's your word. I forgot.
Just 25 cents each.
Okay. I just launched Nook, and it says, you've got a windowing experience going on here. Where do you want Nook to go? I could grab this with my finger, or I could use the keyboard, and I could tell it where I want Nook to go.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, I could hit not up, but I could hit left.
Right.
How do I do this? Maybe I have to use my finger. Oh, you know what? I'm in a lower resolution. I was playing with this last night with a higher resolution. Windows says, hey, you have a high enough resolution that you could drop this app in between these two apps.
And then what would happen?
And I would have three apps all running.
Three.
Thank you, Count Mikula.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have to blame the tech guys because they wanted us to have the resolution at a certain, you know, at 1366 by 768, and they don't care, but it really does look cool. If you have Windows 8.1, you should try this out. It's pretty slick.
I guess you'll just have to push the Believe button.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so this app kind of hovers over the windowed experience and asks me, as a tablet user, it's pretty intuitive. What do I want to do with this app that you just launched? Do you want to grab it and move it over here? Or do you want to grab it and move it over to the other side, or what? You've got some really good options there. So just remember, Windows up, down, left, right, and Windows period. Those are the keys. Windows up, down, left, right, and Windows period. That's how you navigate like a developer pro. That's how you do it.
Cool.
Man, we've only covered one point on windowing. Hopefully we'll get through the rest here. That's how you consider the user and their windowing experience from your app. Do make sure that if you go down to a 320 pixel minimum, that you pan vertically. I mentioned that. Make sure you use the smaller buttons on the app bar. You have a 20 pixel left margin, 20 point header text, and that you have smaller offset values for the page and content transitions, okay? You can get good examples on the MSDN samples for how to handle all of these different styles. It's just a matter of changing your CSS styles. But you need to make sure that you give users that experience. It's like they're in more of a mobile experience when they're in 320 pixel wide view. It's like Snap View. It's actually pretty similar to the phone. It's similar to the user experience that they get on a phone.
At some point, I'm just curious, do you happen to go into the context of the active app on the screen? Do you touch on that, like by merit of it being active, even if it's smaller, it will, if you want to go to search or something, it's context aware?
You know, there's no case that I know of in which you need to decide that.
Well, I was going to say, I can answer that one.
Oh, great.
I didn't know if you were going into it.
No, I won't.
Okay, so we saw how he was shifting things around, and in the Windows 8 world, if you had something that was in Snap View, but something else occupied the greater portion of the screen, even if you were active in that Snap area with that app, if you wanted to do something, invoke a charm or something like that, it always seemed to be based on what was bigger on the screen. But in Windows 8.1, again, out of the box, whatever's active, that's what the context is. It's what you would intuitively think it should be. So
great,
I just
understand.
Want you to know that.
That's excellent. So that means that if I have an app that is 320 pixels wide, it looks like it's snapped, although it's not. because that doesn't exist. It's 320 pixels wide. If I invoke the search charm, that's the app that it is aware of.
True, although we'll learn more about search in a moment.
Yeah, and the story there is good. I'm excited about search. Okay, so because of the different windowing management, you need to know about a few changes in the API. So there's this windows.ui namespace that contains the view management. And you've maybe used the view management in the past. The view management is where you access, for instance, the view state or whatever. Let me find my slide here. I just learned a new shortcut that allows me to jump directly to, well, almost directly to, the slide that I'm interested in. So let me just get there. And obviously, I dramatically overshot the slide I wanted to show you. Okay, so the view management is an API that you've perhaps used to... Oh, boy, I'm not there yet. Hold on. There. It's the difference between the left key and the right key. Sometimes that confuses me.
Sure.
Yeah, it's an important distinction.
This is coming from the keyboard guy.
Okay. View management. View management is a namespace that perhaps you've used if you've wanted to ask Windows the question, what view state is my app in right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
It's important, right?
I want to know.
Well, it was important.
Yeah.
It's no longer important.
What?
So you don't need to access, notice at the very bottom of the slide, the deprecated values. Application view.value, deprecated. Application view.tryUnsnap, deprecated. Mm-hmm. And application view state, which was equivalent to the value,
right.
deprecated. These are no longer necessary because we no longer have view states. What we do have is some methods that we can call that ask really good questions like, hey, is my app currently adjacent to the left side of the screen? That might be important. Maybe your UI changes when your app is on the left versus when your app is on the right, right? Actually, I can imagine if you had some sort of a collaborative app that was able to toss control off the side of the screen to another app on a different monitor, maybe you'd want to know, hey, am I currently on the right side of the screen? Because I'll behave differently than if I'm on the left side of the screen. Just had that idea. Am I full screen? What's my orientation, landscape or portrait? Get application view ID for the window, get for current view. These are all API calls that you're going to need to be familiar with when you're working in the new windowing mode. Okay, and as I told you, I have the code show reactive design that you can use to just kind of test your view states, although it's not so incredibly robust. Let's move on to tile updates. This is what you had in Windows 8.
Okay.
Tiles.
Yeah.
Wide tiles.
Mm-hmm.
And tune into the words here, square tiles.
Okay.
Okay. Can you guess which is which?
I'm seeing them. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Wide and square.
Okay.
Now, it shouldn't say medium there. It should say square because that's what it was called in Windows 8. But now in Windows 8.1, we call that square tile the medium tile. And the reason why we do is because we have introduced two new sizes, which themselves are both square. So we can't have square 1, square 2, and square 3. So we have small, medium, and large square tiles. And then we have wide tiles. Those are the types of tiles we have in Windows 8. And those are the pixel sizes for at 100% scale. Those are the pixel sizes of those tiles. And as you can see in the graphic, the sizes work out together. Did you ever notice why the wide tile is 310 pixels wide?
Yes.
You wondered?
I did at one point.
And then why is it? Sounds like you know. Why is it 310 pixels?
Because if you look at your own graphic that was up there, you had all those little squares, and then you had the big wide one at the bottom. That 10 pixels was the difference of the width in between, like, let's say, two square ones.
There you go. It's that width right there, right? That 10 extra 10 pixels means that whenever I span two medium square tiles with a wide, they're going to line up. So yeah. That's important. So those are the sizes of all of our tiles. Those are the tiles that we have to choose from. And a few notes here. If you use a wide tile and or a large square tile, they should be live. The concept is we don't want to take up that much real estate on a person's start screen unless we're giving them the option to bring in live content into that. Otherwise, it's just a launcher. It's just like an icon on any other platform.
Right.
where the only thing it's able to do is launch. It's not taking full advantage of the Windows 8 platform, where our icons are not icons, they're tiles. And they don't just invite a person to launch the app, they also inform the user. Yeah. So, and the other thing to note is that you can't have a large square tile unless you also have a wide tile. Because it would be awkward for them to jump from a medium square all the way up to a large square without having that intermediate state.
Makes sense.
The way that the interface works. Okay? So as you can see here, we've got a very immersive weather experience showing up in a large tile. That's actually the way I keep it on my screen. Notice I like to read the news, so I've got the news huge. I like to see the weather, and I like to see the sunshine, so I've got the sunshine huge. In fact, I should make an app that shows sunshine in Seattle all the time. That would be really, that would feel really good.
I just want to answer a question that came in on this. So actually, if you can go back to that screen that Jeremy had, the tiles, the question was, well, what happens if you have five of those little small ones? What will that do?
Let's take a look.
Let's just take a look.
So I've got a bunch of tiles, a bunch of
You'll
little
have to,
tiles.
Get out of
thank
that.
Thank you. I've got a bunch of tiles on my start screen, and a lot of them are little. I choose to make a little tile when I really just use that to launch it.
That's
I don't
right.
want to bring down any live data I'm about my high score or whatever.
Exactly.
And I'm going to take one of these, and I'm going to long hold on that, and it's going to put me into edit mode for my start screen.
That's a nice feature, by the
way. Very nice, because I can just tap now on multiple things and edit multiple things at once. Have you done multiple uninstall?
I haven't done multiple uninstall.
I could tap on all of these and uninstall all of them. You don't one way man. Okay. Now in edit mode, I can grab this tile and I can move that around. And right now it's just kind of acting, you know, it's just shifting things around so that it works. But if I just had one lone tile there, it's fine with letting me get out of order.
Oh.
It has no problem with that.
Cool.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and put that back where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the state of the tiles on your start screen is roamed in 8.1, meaning that if I change around my tiles and then I go open it on a new machine, it remembers.
That's nice, because we spend so long just putting that all together.
I know. I felt like I was using so many devices that I felt like I was constantly rearranging my start screen.
Yeah, that is very cool. I've used it. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good deal. Okay, so let's go back here, and let's look at some more considerations around the different sizes and tiles that you have. So you know which ones are available to you and what size they should be. It is all the more important to make sure that you provide tiles in all the various scales. What does that mean? That means that, for instance, I can show you the code show image repository, and you can see that I have a lot of different images in here. Let me zoom in a little bit. Thank you. You can see in my project, if I zoom in a little bit for you in Visual Studio here, that I have a lot of different actual PNG files there. But each one has this naming convention, scale 100, 140, 180, and even 80. That means that there are four different scales, and for the square 150 tile, that's the medium square tile, I want to actually provide a different size PNG for those four different scales. That means that when somebody looks at my app on a device with really high resolution, it's going to actually choose a different PNG file. And so it's going to look high quality on their device. It's going to look really good. And then when somebody looks at my app using their little Acer Iconia, the small 8-inch device or whatever they have, if it's small, it might scale that down to 80%. So and then now it's going to choose a smaller PNG that doesn't have to be scaled, so it's going to look good and it's not going to use as many system resources. That all happens automatically, but you need to make sure that you implement it in your app. That means that you provide the images there. And in the package APEX manifest, you go to the visual assets section, and for each of these visual assets, you provide all four of the different scales. So for my medium tile here that simply says code show with the parentheses, I have a 270 by 270 PNG that's actually for the 150 tile. That means that for a user that has a device that's being scaled up to 180%, instead of 150 pixel tile, he's actually seeing a 270 pixel tile. Higher resolution, that's what he paid for. For somebody with a smaller screen, they're getting, instead of 150 by 150, they're using an asset that's only 120 by 120. So you need to make sure that you include all of these tiles in your app. It will actually work if you only have the 100%, but then when somebody uses your app on a large device with high resolution, it's gonna scale up the 100% manually, and it's not gonna look as good, okay? There is a demo about scaling in CodeShow. If you go to the CodeShow demos and you look for scaling, and I don't see it in here right now, and somebody in the chat room did point out a bug that's in CodeShow, thanks for noticing, where it doesn't always detect all of the demos. So if I reloaded it, it might actually bring in the scaling demo, but that's all right, we'll just pass on that. Okay. So let's go ahead and look at, we looked at what's new for the tiles, but what's new behind the scenes for you as a developer that you need to do, that you need to consider for working with these tiles? You know that for updating the tiles, you're passing an XML description that actually is your tile update. It's a notification. And there's some considerations that you have to make there. When you're sending a tile notification, you don't know if the user is using Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. It might be the newer, might be the older. And so when they're using Windows 8.1, then this template tile square 150 by 150 image, that template identifier is what's going to be used, this one here. But then there's a fallback value, tile square image. That fallback value is going to be used if they're using Windows 8. So notice I have a template value and a fallback value for all of these except for the last one. I have a template value, but I do not have a fallback value. That is going to fail for a Windows 8 user because there's a template value they don't recognize and there's no fallback. In that case, Windows 8 ignores it, so you need to make sure that your large tile, your 310 by 310 tile, is always last. If it's last, Windows 8 will fail at the end. It won't hurt anything at all. It just won't have that large tile, which won't work on their device anyway. Everything else will work. All the other designators will work, and it'll fail here. It won't have any problems whatsoever, okay? That's one big consideration that you need to make. Okay, what do we have next? Looking at app logos, we already did that. Let's look at the alternate logos for secondary tiles. We've always had secondary tiles. We had them in Windows 8 for sure. A secondary tile means that in my app, I want to give the user the ability to create a secondary tile that is going to be kind of a launch pad into a certain area of my app. So weather is a really good example here. If I switch to the weather app, I might choose to go to the start and bring up the locations, my places, go to where my wife grew up in Roswell, New Mexico. And in here, I want to bring up the app bar and pin this to the start. And what I just did, first it prompts the user, it always does this for safety. I just pinned pinned a tile to my start screen for the weather, specifically the weather in Roswell. And as you can see, it's pretty warm in Roswell right now. So I'm going to long hold on that secondary tile, go into edit mode, and I'm going to unpin that from the start. It's that easy. And I'm going to go into CodeShow and show you my demo for secondary tiles. By the way, the secondary tiles demo was originally contributed by somebody in the community. So this was a community contribution. Thank you very much to Econ for this. And I've modified it for Windows 8.1 to add some more functionality. So one of the sections in this demo is create a secondary tile. That's a typo. Create a secondary tile. And that is it's a very simple one. The code for this is very, very simple. It just simply pins that tile. I can then go look at my start screen and see that it's pinned a secondary tile. Now notice the icon for CodeShow, the secondary tile, is identical to CodeShow, the primary tile. It used the same icon, and that was your only choice until now. until just now. Not just now, but when Windows 8.1 preview was released, and when it goes live in October, you're going to be able to pin alternate logos. So watch this. In my code, I specify, let's go actually look at that demo. Demos. This one is called second tile. And I'm going to go to the alternate code and look at the JavaScript. Here's the JavaScript for pinning a secondary tile. This is actually pretty similar to the simple example. But if I scroll down and I look here, you can see that I'm specifying alternate visual elements. The first one and the second one. I'm specifying square logos as alternates. Now, I'm not actually choosing which alternate the user is going to choose. I'm just giving him the options. So let's see what this looks like in Code Show. So I'm going to go to the alternate logos. I'm going to hit create the secondary, should be tile. And now the UI that provides me my tile knows that I have some alternatives here, and it gives them to me in the UI. So I can tap the little left, and whoa, there's the HTML5 logo. Tap it again, and whoa, there's an alternate logo that looks like demo. And so I can flip between all of these. Actually, there's the larger version of demo. And so in Code Show, I'm able to pin demos to the screen, so that's why I have this secondary tile. And so I'm going to choose that, pin it to start, and you can see that on my start screen, I now have a tile that was pinned that's using a different logo than the primary app. That's always a good idea because then the user knows the difference between the tiles for the secondary tiles and the tiles for the primary for your app. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and unpin that from the start just to do a little bit of cleanup. Let's head back to my slides and let's consider that you do have a maximum of 3 alternate logos for your secondary tile, so you can't just provide as many as you want. You have a maximum of 3, and you should keep your branding. In other words, it should still look like your app even though it's alternative. So for the demo app that we pinned, remember, I used the same font and I still had my characteristic parentheses for Code Show, and I used the same color, but it was arranged differently, okay? So that's the considerations there. Let's go ahead and jump back into our slides. We are moving on to the search updates. What do you know about the search updates, Michael?
What I know about them is that they certainly updated it.
They changed some stuff, didn't they?
They changed some stuff. In fact, if you were a developer in 8 and you created and utilized search quite a bit, you'd probably immediately notice upon coming to 8.1 that something was very different.
Yeah.
And from a developer's perspective, it might seem a little like, but from a consumer's perspective, I think it's going to be very well accepted.
Yeah, I do too. And if you've seen it already in Windows 8.1 preview, just know that there are some very subtle but very important changes that will be made before it's released just to polish it off that much more.
Wow.
So it's pretty nifty the way it works. Let's go ahead and take a look at that on my machine right now. Since I'm running Windows 8.1, we can do this. Let's open the news app. Remember, from the start screen, I can just type news. I could also touch it, but my hands are already on the keyboard,
right.
So may as well just use the keyboard. So here's the news app. Now the first thing you should notice is, not the actual articles, don't be distracted. The first thing you should notice is the search bar on the top right. Until now, we discouraged putting search on your design surface.
Mm-hmm.
But of all of the things that a person could jam-pack onto their design surface, one thing that should be allowed and encouraged and implemented in the design principles is search. Mm-hmm. Why? There's a reason. Because search, anymore, is a very integral way of navigating your data. It's absolutely integral. Just as integral as browsing your data by swiping and touching and things like that, search is a very powerful, very local, very immediate way of jumping to the data that you're interested in. And it belongs in context in the app. So Microsoft is now encouraging you to put a search control on your design surface, as the news app has here. And in fact, we've given you a new search control to do just that, with some cool capabilities in it. It has recommendations and autocomplete and things like that built right into that search control. So it's not something that you have to implement. By the way, and listen up. You should use the Control E shortcut on the keyboard to jump to the search control.
Say that again.
Control E.
You should Windows E, Control E.
That's right. Control E in your app should set the focus for the user into that search control. I noticed that it doesn't currently in the News app and some of the other first-party apps, but that's going to be the recommendation.
I see.
Is to give the users an ability to jump quickly and easily with their keyboard into the search control. I can simply touch in there, and then I can go ahead and search for news articles about Egypt, which is a hot topic right now. And there we are, a whole bunch of news articles that all have to do with the country of Egypt. This is, again, an integral way to browse my content. Now, just like Control E, while you're in an app, should bring you to the search pane, the search control for that app, there are a couple of other shortcuts you should know. How did we do a search in Windows 8? Do you remember the Windows key?
I remember using Windows key Q.
Windows Q, that's exactly right. Now if I hit Windows Q, it does still bring out the search, but this is one of those nuances. This is one of those things that will shift somewhat. Notice that the search's context is everywhere. We didn't have this context before.
Everywhere in my app?
Everywhere in the whole wide world.
What?
Yep. This is now going to search everywhere in the whole wide world.
Okay.
Not just in my app. If I wanted to search just in my app, I would use this search bar. If I wanted to search everywhere in the whole wide world, I would normally press a new Windows shortcut, which is Windows S. Okay? Windows Q will be reserved for searching the app. So hitting Control E and using your search control and hitting Windows Q will both set the context to the app. It will be the equivalent of choosing the news from this, which doesn't exist right now because this one has an in-app search experience. But Windows Q will do the equivalent of searching within that app. But if you want to search everywhere, which oftentimes I do, all of a sudden I have an idea.
Sure.
Somebody asks me, how big is the longest animal in the world? And I go, well, that's the blue whale. How long do those get? I don't know.
I want
to search for that. Where? I don't care. It's everywhere.
Care. Just search.
Just start a search. I want to start looking for it, so I'll hit Win S.
Okay.
Win S will automatically be scoped to search everywhere. I now type in blue whale, and I get back Bing search results integrated into Windows 8 that bring me back a composite search results, bring me back information. Here's the Wikipedia article. Here's some images of blue whales. Mm. Look at this. There's $15 summer blue whale watching cruise special in my area. That's unbeatable. Matter of fact, if you guys don't all mind waiting, I think I'll sign up for this real quick. What I'm looking for is the length, so I'm going to open the Wikipedia article. Actually, look at this. It opened the Wikipedia app.
Wow.
It's even a better experience.
A source you can trust.
Absolutely. Let's just change the max. Let's just change the maximum length of a blue whale right now while we're at it.
That's hilarious.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thanks.
So that's search. Now, you still need to have a search contract in your app because you're describing for Windows, here's how to search the content in my app. It's different for every app. You might be looking on the web. You might be looking in a database. You might be looking in local storage for your data and enumerating that. In CodeShow, I'm building up a list of demos based on what's in the package, and I have to create a search index so that when you do a search in CodeShow for demos that have to do with maps, you'll find it. Every app works differently, and you still need to do that. And you need to consider that your user is going to be able to easily search your app or search everywhere, and the users need to know the difference between the two. All right, share updates. The share updates I will mention in brief. They are minor. There were search types. There were actually six different types of things that you could share from one app to another in Windows 8. One of those was a URI, a link. Now that has been split into a URI for websites and a URI for apps. So here we are. The URI format has become web link and application link. And you can specify both if you'd like. So you could share from where the user currently is both a web link and an application link. And in the share, in the receipt of that share, the receiving application could decide what it is that he wants to do with that data. Now, This means that if you're on a web page and you do a share, it's probably going to share a web link, right? If you're in an application and you do a share, it's probably going to share an application link. If you're on the website of an application, you probably want to share both, right? But there are these other properties, the content source web link and content source application link, which mean that, yeah, the user was on a website, but they highlighted some text. And so when they hit share, we're not actually sharing the whole website. We're just sharing that text. So you wouldn't set the web link in that case. But you would want to let them know this text came from this website. So you would set the content source web link in that case and not the web link, okay? Finally, shares can take some time if you want them to. You can, whenever you do a share, you might need to build some data up, render some stuff before you're ready to share. And in that case, you can make it an asynchronous task, which is good for the user. But we found out that it was a little bit unclear for the users that whenever they were working on an asynchronous share, it was taking some time, it was in the share screen, and they didn't know, if I dismiss this, is it going to stop the share? And because of that, we can now in Windows 8.1 programmatically dismiss the share pane. It's just the equivalent of the user tapping outside of it. But we do that. We can do that programmatically to take the question out of the user's mind of, will this stop the share? It looks like it just happened. In fact, it's happening behind the scenes asynchronously. Okay. Charms now work on every screen. That means that if I have multiple monitors, 1, 2, 3 monitors, I'm able to swipe out that charms bar on all screens that I'm currently on. Okay? That's all that really needs to be said about that. In our apps, we can integrate people and events. And I'm going to show you that using an MSDN video. I've downloaded, by the way, all of the MSDN videos. There's a pack of Windows 8.1 MSDN videos. If you go to dev.windows.com, go to develop, and then samples, you'll find all of the samples. And you can download the pack of just the ones for Windows 8.1. I have those downloaded. I have them here. And I'm going to take you to the demo for people and events. And that was called Contact Manager. So let's open the Contact Manager in Visual Studio. Let's see what this offers us. I'll run it. This is an example of one of those demos that doesn't exist in Code Show, so I'm just showing you the MSDN version. Now, it allows us to show something called a contact card, which is kind of a modern UI implement. And notice I'm going to type an email address in here. It's just johndoe@domain.com, and his phone number is 123-123-1234, and I'm going to show the contact card. And this is what gets shown for a contact card. It's a quick UI that renders in front of the app and allows us to quickly and easily send an email. We can call him directly from the UI here. And so it's modern, it's good, it's convenient, it's good for the users. And it's quick and easy to do in your app. You can show a contact card in your app without having to actually render the UI for that contact card, okay? The same thing can be done for UI events. And let's see what else we've got. Speech synthesis. We've got a good demo for speech synthesis in the MSDN samples, but it doesn't work on my machine, and I don't know why. Hmm. And I've yet to find out why. It just it throws an access denied error, and so I'm not able to show the speech synthesis. I'd be interested if you guys wanted to try the speech synthesis sample from MSDN and let me know if it works on your machine. And finally, we have new alarm app support, which is really cool. This means that a single app on your device can act with the user's permission as the alarm app. Only one. The alarm app. Now, to demonstrate this, I'm going to open for you the new alarms app that's on Windows 8.1. You don't get this on Windows 8. Here's the alarms. Have you looked at the alarms app?
I have not.
Look at this. It's like all fancy UI and everything. I can set an alarm for the morning by turning this on and then saying, I want to set the time. Mm-hmm. And I want to wake up at 6 o'clock a.m. How cool is that?
I won't change my alarm any way different now.
Isn't that amazing? And you can have it repeat just weekdays if you want. Every weekday I wake up at 6:30, something like that. You can use different chimes. Let's see if we can get this.
Can you change color?
I hope so. It's pink. There we go. So that's the nice alarm app. But if you want to be, if you want to have the next awesome alarm app in the store, mm-hmm. you can implement this alarm, and you can create an alarm app, and then it will prompt the user the first time it loads. Do you want this to be your primary alarm app? And now you have special privileges as the alarm app. You can now launch that sound and launch the UI, the notification. It's updated every second. And it will pop up even if the, it'll play the sound even if the user's machine is muted. Very, very important. Have you ever left your, have you ever left an old device on mute and your alarm didn't go off?
I love that privilege because it's so frustrating if you set an alarm on a device and it's muted and it doesn't go off. It has to go off.
I know.
And it's the rule.
I agree.
So whoever wins that prestigious title of I am the alarm
app. The alarm app on your, and by the way, this is a great app to be because the user might be running your app all night long. Talk about ad revenue. Okay, by the way, this app, the Alarms app, also has a timer. You set it, and you say go. And this is a countdown timer. And it also has a stopwatch. So you can start a stopwatch, and it even has laps. So really cool functionality in the built-in Alarms app. That's the built-in Alarms app. There are a lot more apps that I wanted to show you, but I kind of feel like we are running out of time here. So I'm going to show you a list of these new apps. Look at this. Alarms. Can you see these down at the bottom here? Alarms.
Full screen.
Well, I can't do full screen because it doesn't actually have them on the screen. So I just want, I just want you to look right. The tech guys are making fun of me again. I want you to look right here at that the other apps that you get with Windows 8.1 that you don't necessarily have or that are dramatically updated from Windows 8. Alarms, camera, a scanner app that you can scan with, sound recorder, reading list, so that you can share almost anything with reading list, and then it's a good place to go when you're sitting on the train and you're like, what did I want to read? Oh yeah, that's right, I shared a bunch of stuff with this app. And movie moments that I showed you earlier. So. Awesome, awesome stuff in there. Let me show you sound recorder hyper quickly. Look at this. Talk about an elegant, light UI. Bam, there's sound recorder. How do you suppose I start recording? It's pretty intuitive. Do I touch over here? No. Touch over here? No. I touch right there.
Nice.
I'm now recording.
Whoa. We're double recorded.
We're double recorded right now, absolutely. I can pause recording. That's a nice feature. Resume, stop. And I now have myself an audio file that I can play back. Beautiful. Okay, that is gonna do it for the for this section. I'll show you the summary, but you guys are familiar with everything that we covered. This is what we covered. That's it for this module on UX and UI, the dramatic UX and UI changes in Windows 8.1. Stick around. We're actually going to take a longer break this time. This is going to be a meal break. So we're going to come back at the top of the hour. So it's less than an hour break. We're going to come back at the top of the hour. And we will see you here. What are we going to be talking about?
I don't know.
I stumped you. I forgot too. We'll
it's
surprise
all about
you.
HTML. It's that stuff.
We'll surprise you.